following podcast is a presentation of Sunridge Community Church.
Isn't it great just hearing from Jazzy, someone who's been in our prayers these last number of months? I just thought, not sure exactly how it is that one's going to share that experience, but man, she articulated that well. And whenever someone comes to that point in their life where they just say, you know what, like I just really want to, for the next part of my life, like I really just want to know Jesus and to be led in the next steps as Jesus leads me. And when you hear that from, anyone, but when you hear that from a young adult, you just say, wow, like that's a very, very significant statement. And so I love what God is doing in the hearts of all of, our little ones to our students, to the young adults, and to those of us that are on the older end of things. But we all are at that point where we really need to make those kinds of decisions, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But anyway, Jazzy, way to go. You did well there. Were you nervous a little? You didn't look it. Were you? You took the lower stool. I noticed that. Was that helpful? Okay, well, anyway, thanks so much for doing that for us. Hey, listen, we're going to wrap up a series that we've been in for the last 6 weeks. It's been a series called Guardrails. And so today's our last take at it. And I'm going to do my very best to, I think, underline the importance of it. Guardrails, just so we're all on the same page here. Guardrails are it's that system that's been placed on roads in areas where we really require some protection. And so that's really how we started out our series, is that there is this need in our life for protection. And the thought behind the guardrail system is that we may hit a guardrail and suffer minor damage, but that would keep us from experiencing severe damage had that guardrail not been there. And, really not to put anyone on the spot, but I'm going to anyway. But Nelson hit a guardrail this last week. And so, Nelson, I'm going to share a little bit. Are you going to give me a nod if you want me to go further with this? Okay, thumbs up all the way. Here we go. So, okay, we all had the snow, and we realized that the roads are just a little on the challenging side. And so people that kind of know Nelson, one of the things that, I learned fairly quickly is that Nelson's a good driver. My kids would say that. And here's the thing about guardrails. We may really navigate the road well, but the problem is that those occurrences in life take place. And so he, as I understand it, there's an area where he's kind of going to Winfield and that near the lakes, and you've been through all those curves in that area, and there was one corner where there was no guardrail, and as I heard the story, Nelson said to himself, wow, it's, boy, no guardrail there. I hate to lose control when there's no guardrail that would keep me from going over the edge. And the very next corner, he loses it. And he hits the guardrail. Think maybe it's a write-off. We're not sure. Do you know yet? Okay, so guardrails protected Nelson. Yeah, he wrecked his car. He's okay. He's sitting in the seat. Back's a little tender. But the thing is, it could have been a lot worse. See, that's the thing that we're talking about when we've been in this series, Guardrails. Because what we're trying to do is to take that concept on the street and apply it to our lives. And so there's this thing I've been asking us to consider, and that is, as we define a guardrail, when we apply it to the different areas of our life, whether that be relationally or maritally, in our marriages, our job, vocationally, our business, our morality, in the way that we do our sexuality, it's just, there's something about guardrails that's the significant decision and choice that we really ought to make. And so we defined it this way. We have got to decide, like, a personal standard of behavior. That is, we choose, personally, we make a choice a personal standard of behavior that becomes a matter of conscience. In other words, I bang into a safety guardrail, and there's something about that. It makes me feel like I've done something wrong, even though I'm on the safe part of the road. And it says, okay, that didn't feel very good. Back it up, figure it out, and move forward. That's been the premise of this whole series. And so today, what I really would like to do is to just really wrap it up by addressing what I would just simply call the big pushback. It's an interesting thing because I want to talk specifically about why we won't do this, why we don't do this, about the establishment of guardrails. And there's basically two tracks of thinking on this. The one track is this, and I hear from you, and I hear it, and it goes something like this. Wow, I wish my wife would have heard that. Wow, I wish my husband would have heard that. My kids, I'm going to actually get that for my kids because my kids need to hear that. I have a friend that really should have heard that. How can I get that information? And I've had those conversations. That's kind of one track that I've had, you know, kind of going on. Because it's clear we see the need. Makes logical sense. It's just, it's for that person or it's for that person. The second line of track goes like this. I'm not going to do this. You know, I don't want to do that. Because, hey, yeah, Mike, it makes sense. You got me on the logic, but, you know, I just don't think I want to do that. And here's the thing. Because I think if I do, it's going to keep me from something that I want. I don't want to be a good example. I just want to make more money. I don't want to give. I just want to buy. I don't want to be wise. I want to date her. I want to date him. And so there's this thing that we sometimes, the second track, this guardrail is going to get in between that which I really want, and that's the pushback. So, you know, many of you may have gone through the series and somehow intrigued by it, the thinking of it, but to the point where you actually establish one. That's what I want to talk about today. Last pitch I got, and I'm going to just really give her as much as I can, because I know you know that the reason for us to establish these things, the logic behind it, is not flawed. But there is something I really think that goes underneath that, and the problem would be this, and that is, if we establish guardrails, I'm not going to have as much fun in life. There's something about getting as close to sin as I can get to, and that's where the excitement of life is. Now, one of the things that I just really want is just say as a premise before we start going forward here, and that is just so that you know, I don't want anybody to be duped into thinking that somehow you, by not establishing a guardrail, is going to take away the tension. Don't deceive yourself into thinking that somehow by you being able to say yes, 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 that there's not going to be any tension at some point in time. You're going to come to the edge. So by you not establishing a guardrail does not relieve the tension or the temptation that you will at some point experience. All it does is it weakens your resolve to say no. See, at some point, whatever point it is that you choose, pick a spot. At that spot you choose, that becomes the point of your temptation. Name it any issue in life. We need to establish guardrails somewhere. And if you choose not to, and you're just going to kind of go to the edge, well, then that becomes your edge. That becomes your point of temptation. So just so you don't think incorrectly, by you not establishing it does not remove the tension. It only weakens your resolve to say no. We all have to say no somewhere. If we don't say no, we're over the edge. So, you know, as we talk a little bit about this, I just want you to know that we win by the further we stay from the edge. Our resolve is strongest then. And so you need to choose. What does that look like in your life? Well, I want to tell you a story that takes place back in 605 BC. It's a story in the Old Testament. It's the book of Daniel. And in this story, there's a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. And he's the king of Babylon. 605 BC. The interesting thing about Babylon is kind of the modern-day Iraq. When Saddam Hussein was still alive, Saddam actually really wanted to be a Nebuchadnezzar number two. He modeled his whole life, his structure, his environment around what it is that he knew about Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And so the story goes that in 605 BC, Nebuchadnezzar decided to conquer Israel, specifically the city of Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. And so Nebuchadnezzar really was a brilliant guy. And here's really one of the reasons why he was so brilliant. See, what he would do is when he would take a city, he wouldn't just whack the city and smoke everybody in the city. See, he was a bright guy. What he decided to do, instead of enslaving everybody, he gave instructions. When you take a city, I want you to bring back to Babylon the best and the brightest. And so what they would then do with the best and the brightest is they'd put them into a training program. And in this training program, they would just basically rip out the heritage, rip out the traditions of whatever it was that that city was about, and they pour in the tradition and the culture and the DNA of Babylon. And so, you know, Nebuchadnezzar made a magnificent city, the city of Babylon, and it was the prettiest, the smartest people in all of the world. And he did it by this strategy of recreating the slave's worldview. And when they would recreate this worldview, they'd keep some and then they'd send some out. But then they'd send them out with the Babylonian culture. And there was a huge momentum and a strength that was taking place. Well, in 605, he had his eyes set on Israel. And so he did that. He conquers the city. He destroys the temple that Solomon had built. He loots it. He takes all of the good stuff, and he brings it back to Babylon. But he also brings back the best and the brightest. Whoever it was that really were the prominent ones, he'd ask his leaders, bring them back. Bring them back, and let's get them in the training program. Four guys made the cut. Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Those are the four that really the book of Daniel has some things about. They make the cut. They're the ones that are somehow deemed into the list the best and the brightest. And so begins the training process to strip away all of what it was that they were about so that he could pour into them the new DNA, the Babylonian DNA. Brilliant in a lot of ways. The story starts in Daniel chapter 1, verse 5, and this is what we read. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. So, which is awesome when you think about it, because this is like the best food in the whole empire. I mean, it's the king's table. And they were to be trained for 3 years. So in a lot of ways, these slaves, they've just had their city smoked. They're brought into this new environment. And they're told, okay, we're going to give you a free 3-year degree, and we're going to give you a food allowance that comes straight from the king's table. Now, anybody who makes the cut, at this point in time, they're just high-fiving each other because they thought, we're done. We're going to die in the desert. We're going to be locked away in some cell. And in fact, they're given the best of education, the best of food, living in the king's palace. And I mean, it's just an unbelievable thing. Verse 5. They were trained for 3 years. And after that, they were to enter into the king's service. So then after this program, the best and the brightest, they're put to work with the king. In the king's environment, in the palace, experiencing all of the best. I mean, it's the best that the ancient world had to offer. And that's why King Nebuchadnezzar really, Nebuchadnezzar had a reputation for a stunning season of leadership, because that's what he did. But Daniel, now he's one of these smart guys. In fact, Daniel was smart enough to see through what was really going on here. Because once they rescued his life and they gave him new clothes, they gave him a new name. I mean, they didn't call him Daniel anymore. They changed his name to Belteshazzar, which is really named after a Babylonian god named Bel. So now his name is really a Babylonian god. Daniel realized that slowly the strategy would be, they're going to strip everything out of me that I believed, everything out of me that I valued. They're going to do this slowly but extremely intentionally. And he says, one day, who knows, man, if I don't do something, I'm going to wake up worshiping a Babylonian god. So Daniel, Daniel recognizes something here that many of us don't. See, he recognized that there was something that culture does. There's something slow but extremely intentional. And that slow and intentional thing is this tug to the edge. And he recognized it. And he called it what it was. And he knew that there was something. Compromise does not relieve the tension. It only weakens my resolve. So the closer that I get to that edge, the more problematic it's going to be for me to be true to what it is that I want to be about. So, you know, if you think, if I give in, there won't be any more tension. If I give in, there won't be any more temptation. If I give in, there won't be any more pressure. You have to understand what it is that Daniel understood. And that is, to not have any kind of guardrail does not relieve the tension. It only weakens your resolve to say no. Hey, if you cheat once, it's a lot easier to cheat the second time. You compromise with alcohol and or drugs, it's a lot easier to keep doing that and allow that to grow. I mean, come on. The second cigarette is a lot easier than the first one. We cross so many lines that the more that we cross, it just makes it easier. And so Daniel understood that. He understood, you know, if we don't have something somehow, a personal standard of behavior that becomes a matter of conscience, why don't do that? I'm going to be crossing lines here before I know it, things that I don't want to. And this is just what Daniel really has to show us. And he saw this, and so he decided to do something that I want to encourage all of us to do as well. Verse 8, Daniel 1. But Daniel resolved. He came to that point, he just says, enough is enough. That's as far as I go. That's as close as I get. That's my guardrail. And I'm going to set it. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now, there's nothing wrong with the food and the wine. Why the guardrail? There's a lot of speculation about why Daniel decided that that was just his line. One is that the wine and the food had been offered to Bel, one of the Babylonian gods, and so therefore there was this understanding that maybe it was that Daniel thought, if I eat that food, it's just like me saying, I accept that those gods are real and legit, therefore I just can't eat the food. There's another line of thought that is, you know, because he was a Jew and he wanted to abide by Moses' law, and that, you know, he didn't know it was kosher. And so for whatever the reason is, this much we know, he resolved. I mean, he decided. And he just came to that point. He says, you know what? You cannot push me past that point because I've resolved. And you know what? I think the coolest part of this story is just simply this. Here we have a teenager that is away from home, away from his parents, in the presence of the strongest people in the world. Like, no kidding. And so here's this kid. He's essentially insulting his host by just simply saying, I can't eat your food because it's going to defile me. I mean, you just think about the listener that hears that kind of a report. It's like, hey, hold on, cowboy. Like, just so you know, there's a lot of people that don't have food. And you're telling me, you're telling us that our food is going to defile you? You know, well, aren't you something special? And yet the courage and the tenacity of this young man. He resolved. And this really would have been a total insult to King Nebuchadnezzar. But he knew where it was headed. And so he decided, look, I'm just not going to defile myself. So he asks the chief official for permission because he's got this thing that he's got to do. And he talks to Asphanaz, interesting name, cool name really. Asphanaz is this guy's name. He's the chief official. And he says, Asphanaz, look, we don't want to eat your food. And we don't want to drink your wine. Now, I know that that's going to present a problem. But we just don't want to do it. Now, look at the next verse. And this is really, I think, in a way, this is the game changer to the whole story. And it says in verse 9, now God, please don't miss that. Now, why is this so important? See, as you're evaluating your own life, whether it is you should establish a guardrail or not, you know, are you going to do it or not? You're thinking to yourself, you know, if I do that, people are going to think that I'm crazy. Guys at work, they're going to just say, what? Well, you always used to do that. What's with you? So just as you're thinking about all of that, like a guardrail for your life, in whatever area of life, you know, probably there's one that's got your attention. I would just really want to make sure that you factor in what it is that Daniel factored in. And that what Daniel factored in is the now God part. The now God part is something that sometimes we can just not see the importance of. See, the now God part is not only that God is going to protect you, you establish a guardrail. The now God part is actually something that will guide you. And we'll see, you know, because of this point in the story, what takes place in Daniel's life shapes the whole rest of his story. As a matter of fact, we wouldn't even have the book. We would not even be talking about Daniel had he not come to this point where he resolved. He said, that's it. That's enough. Now, everything and more, and you could possibly imagine, hung on that decision that Daniel made that day. It's so large. And the fact is, you know, that he said no to that. He says, that's the line. God, he said, I'm going to actually direct your entire life because of what you decided there. There was something so big about that decision that you even see within the whole story of Daniel's life. It really hangs in the balance of the day, you know, when he resolved. And friends, let me just tell you something that maybe you don't even know about yourselves, but I believe it to my toes. You have no idea what hangs in the balance for you and the development and the establishment of a guardrail, a personal standard of behavior that becomes a matter of conscience. You have no idea how it is that God could work in you and through you. If by you coming to a point in your life and saying, I'm resolving. I'm just going to resolve. And you may think you do, but friends, I don't think many of us have a real good idea of what it is that God would do in our life if we would actually prayerfully, humbly, firmly establish a guardrail in those areas of our life. And my hunch is that many of you, that decision will be a defining moment in your life. And you'll look back and you'll say, wow, you know, the day that I did, it wasn't just that which brought me protection. It was that day that God actually started to guide my life and set me on a path that I've never been the same. Daniel 1:9. Now God has caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. Asphanaz, he's treating these guys special for some reason. It's an interesting thing. He didn't know that God was working behind the scenes, but God clearly was. And that's the thing. We don't know when God is working behind the scenes either. But there was something about just that decision when Daniel resolved that created something to take place behind that which could be seen. Verse 10. This is what Asphanaz then says. He responded to Daniel. I fear my master, the king. He is the one who has decided your food and drink. What would happen if he saw that you looked malnourished in comparison to the other young men your age? If that happened, you would endanger my life with the king. So Asphanaz is simply saying, hey, okay, but here's the problem. You know, I can't give you an out on this, Daniel. As much as I like you, as much as I think you're a great guy and your buddies, if this messes up, like Nebuchadnezzar will have my head. So I can't actually do what it is. I can't change my mind as to what it is that you're really requesting. Now listen really carefully. Listen really, really, really carefully. However, now we're not really clear as to how this whole story is taking shape, but apparently there's some kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge going on. Now, while this whole conversation is going on, he says, hey, but, hey, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. The security guard over there, you know the one, maybe you can work out something, you know, with him. So Daniel and his guys, they go to the security guard and they come up with the deal. Daniel says, hey, just let us not eat the meal, drink the wine for 10 days. And after 10 days, if we're looking like we're in real trouble, then just, hey, we'll talk then. But just 10 days. And after 10 days, they're healthier than the whole rest of the guys. Verse 17, these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. God honored the decision. And then here's the conclusion. Verse 19. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, whatever. So they entered the king's service. It's an amazing story. One decision. And this was the beginning of the journey of this young man, Daniel, because that decision God really took and guided this man. So there was a day when they're to bow down to the God. And if they didn't bow, they got thrown into a furnace. And Daniel and these young guys said, hey, we're not going to bow. There's a guardrail. Where did that start? They said, if you don't bow, you are in that furnace. And they threw him in. Where did it come to Daniel where, you know, he was just a man that wanted to be intimate with God. And he prayed three times a day. And the way that he prayed with the window open. And there were some men that really didn't care for Daniel. And so they thought, well, boy, you know what, let's set up a law where if anybody's actually praying to another god other than the gods of the nation in Babylon, that somehow they're going to be thrown into a lion's den. Daniel knew that. But he had a guardrail. He said, I'm going to pray. And he did, and he got arrested. And he got thrown into a lion's den. But he had a guardrail, and God protected him. And the point is this, friends, like, whatever it is that you're thinking about, what it is in your life requires some thought and reflection and some establishing of guardrails. Those points where you say, I have to resolve. You have to believe. You have to know that God really does want to guide your life. He will protect your life, but he wants to guide your life. Now, that's the story. And here's the thing that I just really want to challenge us all with, and that is just simply this. You know, this story has written all over it this point where a decision gets made. You know, where one really makes up their mind. And they say, that's as far as I go. Like, I'm not going to go past that. I know that for some others, maybe they will. But as for me, I resolve. That's my guardrail. And that you just stay to that. And you'd make that decision based upon what it is you want your life to be about. So that it protects your walk with God. So that it protects your marriages. So that it protects in your parenting. So that it protects the way you handle money. So it protects the way you use your time. The way you use your sexuality. The way you do what you do. That's as far as I go. And I'm making the choice. Personal standard of behavior become a matter of conscience. So again, here's the challenge. You do need to make up your mind on this. Just as Daniel, he made this decision without really knowing how the end of his story was going to turn out. I mean, we see it. But he didn't know. And so I would love for us to be making decisions like this without knowing how it is that our story is going to end out. We all do have a story that needs to end out. You realize that. And it's the decisions that we make before we know how it all ends that changes everything. And so to find yourself at this stage, you know, after 6 weeks we've been, you know, really talking about this. If you find yourself at this stage refusing to establish a guardrail in your life, please know you are not going to relieve the tension that you experience. You're only going to weaken your resolve. You need to know that. So it would be really, really important for you to just really think hard and long about that, because culture is not going to help you and I on this one. Needs to come from our own heart, our own decision. What is it going to be? There's a verse from Proverbs, and then I'm going to wrap it up. It just simply says this, Proverbs 11, verse 3. The integrity of the upright guides them. The integrity of the upright guides them. You know, there's something that we lift here a lot in our church. And that is just the, you know, I loved what Jazzy said. You know, one of the things that she really learned is there's something about this book that she feels drawn to. Because it's not just a good book. It's not just a great book. It's the book. And I want to just encourage you, maybe today is a day where you just finally decide, okay, I'm going to allow God's word to speak to me. And you would just find yourself, look, I don't even know where to begin. Just pick up a reading guide. They're available. We have a new one every month. And it even tells you where to read for that given day. And that you would just, not in a way that you have to understand everything that's being said here. In a way where you just say, God, speak, for your servant is listening. And maybe today, you know, you're going to establish something by way of a guardrail where, you know, that's going to be something that I just set up today. But you've got to resolve to do that. Again, you know, I think one of the things that I want to just be really aware is that we're all on a different path. But, you know, the goal, of course, is that we become more like Jesus. And that's always to the right side of the page, isn't it? It's never to the left. I don't know why. But anyway, it's always to the right. And we're at different points on that journey. You might be here today and you're an explorer. And you've heard this whole talk about, you know, what is this whole life about following Jesus about? And your decision, your resolve today, you know, might just simply be this. I want to say yes to Jesus. I want to say yes to his leadership in my life. I want to say yes to the forgiveness of sin through what it is that he did on the cross. And so that's a very, very big point in an individual's life, friends. Where you actually come to the point of saying, okay, I surrender. I'm actually going to surrender. I don't understand hardly anything, but I do know this, Jesus. I believe you love me, and I know you died for me, and I know that there's this problem of sin, and I don't even fully understand that, but I want to be adopted into your family. And I'm resolving that. That's it. Wow, that'd be a great decision today. If you're here today and that describes you, well, I'd just encourage you to just simply do that, to just in your own heart to say, you know what? Yes. Yes. You might be here and you're a newbie. Newbies are really fun to be with because they're just so all over. You know, they don't know what they don't know and they're just excited about the whole thing. But they do make a lot of mess, and that's the reason why. You know, they really do need to make a decision to just be grounded in what it is that God's saying. And so I'd say a great guardrail for this group of people right here is have a Bible. You need one? Come see one of our leaders. We'll get you one. Take one. Steal a Bible. There's some at the back. Just steal it. Just kind of put it under your arm and just pretend like it was yours all along. Seriously, take it. And take a reading guide. And allow the guardrails of other individuals within Scripture inspire you and show you what it is. Let that allow you to see the person of Jesus in a way where he really does speak and he really does want to say something. Wow, that would be a great decision. There's some others. You know, I'd say you're the growing Christian. And the growing, you know, Christian, you've been around the block a few times and you're sometimes wondering, you know, what is it now? You know, what is this all about? And so you don't really even know where to begin maybe with guardrails because it's such familiar language or it's something you've grown up in church for a lot of years. And honestly, I think sometimes for this group, I just really think that people are just such a key thing. And that is just people that'll speak truth, really just speak truth into your life. Small groups in Sunridge where, you know, there's someone in that living room, someone in that coffee shop, someone in that pub, wherever it is you meet, where someone will lovingly tell you the truth. I mean, boy, there's something as I age, you know, this whole thing about loving people. That's, friends, that's not an option. Jesus was very clear on that. So I don't know what the guardrails specifically for that group of people are. And if you're in that group, you need some folks around you, some folks that are really going to tell you, you know, what it is that your life is about. Because it's so hard to see this in the mirror. You're just looking at yourself. And then, of course, they're the all-in. And you know what I'd love to say to the all-in folk? You know, if you consider yourself in that all-in group, I said, you know, a couple of weeks ago, just what's the description of the all-in? And, you know, I'll just tell the story in brief again. There was, I was in my, I think my early 20s, and I decided to parachute. And I wanted the experience of just doing this free fall. And I was talking quite brave on the ground. It's a very different thing when you're in the plane and you've got this open door and you're saying, well, this is the real deal. I'm hoping this works. Like, I really hope this works. And you have a decision to make because it's completely out of your control. And then comes that moment in time where at 3,200 feet, this guy driving the plane says this ridiculous thing, jump. I was on what they call a static line, so I'm jumping on my own. Sometimes now they do it differently where there's a guy on your back. I was static line. Basically, that means they hook up something to the plane, and it pulls my ripcord for the first jump on my own. First three jumps, they did that way. Fourth one, I had to pull it myself. That was a new day. But that first one, there's nothing like the first one. And you're just kind of falling. And I don't know of a better way to describe what the feeling was like the day I decided, okay, Jesus, I'm going to free fall and hope this works. And, you know, if I have to leave my hometown, if I have to leave, you know, my friends, if I have to, you know, go into an environment I don't know, I don't know anybody, I don't even know, I've got a young family, does this even make sense? And so when we really decided to move up here, that was a free fall for me, friends. And so you might find yourself, you know, asking the question, you know, right here, you know, is that, you might say, you know, I don't know if I've ever really experienced that in my life. And I just simply say, you'd know if you had. And I think Daniel, he was at that point that day. And he just decided, he says, I'm resolving. I am going to fully trust God. And I need to make a decision. And so that's what I long for. You know, for all of us here today, I long that there would be something that you would really take to heart. And that you would really think soberly. And you'd reflect hard and long on. And you'd say, okay, I am going to, from today on, resolve some things. And you lay it down, and you allow it to not only protect your life, but you allow it to guide your life and allow God to really be, you know, the provider of all of the guidance that he does, so that you can go into your mixed up, crazy environments, whether it be the mixed up, crazy environment at school, whether it's your mixed up, crazy culture that you live in, your mixed up, crazy neighborhood. There's so much mixed up and crazy around us, but when we have guardrails, God promises, I will protect you and I will guide you. But you've got to make up your mind. I want to invite the worship team to come on up, and we're going to have a time where, as a family, we get to respond, and we're going to respond by taking time to take the Lord's Supper. Some people call it communion. Some people call it the Eucharist. Whatever it is that you call it, whatever it is you think, here's what we believe it is. We believe that it's a time where we can respond to this beautiful gift that God has given to us, and that is the forgiveness of sin. And I would also want us to just think about, you know, what it is that we've talked about here today, because I think that there's something that God is actually stirring within every one of us if we're really honest. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking. And I think you know what it is that it is for you. And you're maybe wondering, wow, like, why is that? Why is that a thing? Maybe it's the way you've done business. Maybe it's the way you've done relationship. Maybe there's something about even Daniel's story that has just got your attention. Maybe it's you've wanted to be an all-in, but you've just never really thought about it that way. Maybe you're an explorer and you've never really came to that point of surrendering. See, today's your day if you decide for it to be. So we want to invite any and all of you to just really enjoy this time so that you can really, just between you and God, experience something that would be extremely personal and extremely real to you. Because there's a God who loves to speak to his children. And so we have a little different way today. We've got little cups, and for some of you wonder, what's with the little cups? Well, it's just different. So you just come and you take a cracker. Oh, yeah, we've got crackers too, by the way. So, yeah, it's all different. So you take the cracker and you take your cup, and then you pour it really carefully over the cracker. And I'm just kidding. We'll try that another week. But just on your own, and when you're ready, you just take that cracker. That just represents the broken body of Jesus. And when you place that on your mouth, you realize that there's something only Jesus could do. And you take that cup, and you just remember the price he paid of the shed blood. And you just take that whenever you feel comfortable doing that. We're going to have some songs that are taking place just to provide a time where we can reflect. And if you've come with something of an offering, your tithes, you can bring those as well. And you just lay them in the container. And for those of you that are a gift, I guess, you don't have to feel. You got to pay for the cracker. You just come and enjoy a time where you just really want to take this serious. So I'm going to invite you as I pray, and then we're going to just do this in communion. Yeah, you can stand. You can stand now, yeah. Stand. So, Lord, we thank you for your Bible. And I pray, God, that the truths that we've looked at today would be something that would really register in our heads and in our hearts. And, Lord, as we come to your table, I just would pray, Jesus, would you meet us in a way that only you can by your Spirit? Wherever we're at in this journey, Lord, meet us. I pray that we would be people. We'd be doing some resolving today. We'd be doing some deciding today. Thank you for this series, Lord, and the truth that it's raised. Pray now for this time we will experience in Jesus' name. Amen.